Right. I am recording. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Jane.
So yeah, you can go ahead.
All right. Well, let's call tonight's meeting of the North Bend Planning Commission to order. It's Thursday, May 28th. This is Commissioner Tao chairing tonight's meeting. We'll start with a roll call. I'll just read out the commissioners' names that I see have called in so far. And if you can just say you're present, then we'll get through the roll. Commissioner Greenberg?
Present.
Commissioner Moe?
Present.
Commissioner Bush?
Present.
Commissioner Blanco?
Present.
I know Commissioner Bovers said he will not be able to make it tonight. We have not heard from Commissioner Torgerson, so why don't we just proceed through the agenda and hopefully Susan will join us. If not, we'll just include both Commissioner Bovers and Torgerson in a motion to excuse their absences tonight. There's no objection to that. We'll move on. Here is the opportunity for public comment on any topic. With the exception of the agenda item we have for public hearing, which are the planned parking regulations. So are there any members of the public who would like to offer comment on any topic that is not the subject of the public hearing later this evening?
Don't think we have any.
All right, so moving on, approval of tonight's agenda. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda for tonight's meeting?
I move that the agenda be approved. This is
I'll Mr. second Greenberg. It.
So Commissioner Greenberg has made the motion, and was that Commissioner Blanco that seconded
it
that?
It is. It was.
Moved and seconded. All in favor of approving the agenda for tonight's meeting, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Our agenda is approved. Next item is approval of the minutes of the April 23rd Planning Commission meeting. This was a meeting I attempted to, but was unable to attend. But assuming that the other commissioners on the call tonight are in agreement that the minutes reflect, if I needed to get a quorum, I can vote yes based on the recommendation of others. So is there a motion to approve the minutes of the April 23rd Planning Commission meeting?
I'll move approval of the minutes of the April 23rd Planning Commission meeting.
Okay. Motion made by Commissioner Greenberg. Is there a second?
Second.
Was that Commissioner Bush? I'm trying to recognize
the voice. It was Commissioner Mo.
Commissioner Mo. Okay, sorry about that, Olivia. All right, it's been moved and seconded. I think we have a majority, right? I don't have to vote on this for it to pass. So I'll go ahead and abstain since I wasn't able to participate. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, the minutes have been approved for April 23rd. The next item on the agenda is continuation of our development agreement, the proposed development agreement for the Habitat for Humanity project. We had the public hearing. We've closed the public hearing. Jamie, in the packet, you've addressed both comments from the public as well as input from the planning commissioners. Do you want to start us off and summarize
sure.
the changes that have been made?
Yeah.
And I think you're hoping that we'll take action on this tonight. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah.
All right.
Go ahead. Yeah. So Jamie Burrell here. And I'll just go through some of the high level points. Patrick Sullivan from Habitat is also on the call and the meeting, so he can add anything if there's questions, and have a bit of discussion just to follow up from our last meeting. And just to let you know, Habitat did submit their application for site plan review last week. So kind of the wheels are churning for their project. You know, as we talked about in the public hearing, and at the last meeting, we're here to talk about the development agreement and the reasons that they are seeking that, which is to reduce some of their impact fees to make the project affordable. And the code does already have reductions for fire, park, and some of the school impact fees. And this is an affordable housing project, which I said in the memo, not a market-based project. So just keep that in mind. Reduction of the traffic impact fees and the storm drainage fees are really not, it's very rare that that's provided by the city. The negative impact, of course, is that the city is going to have slightly less revenue for our capital projects. We have a large list of six-year capital projects for transportation, storm, park, all of our improvements that we would like to do. And we never have enough money to complete all of them. Some of them are higher priorities. Some of them we get grants for. But typically we don't have enough internal revenue, you know, even from all the projects coming in or the general fund to fund many of them. So we do the best we can and we pick away at it. So that's just one point to make about the fees. There were some comments from planning commissioners about the restrictive covenant that we will be working on with Habitat. That's a separate legal document. And so I did include some language in there from our attorneys. But that restrictive covenant that will go with the land would be recorded against, the idea is we'll record that against the parcel for 40 to 50 years, getting Habitat's input, but whatever the useful life is for these residences. So it will hold through that period of these homes. We do have in our development agreement language for the survivability. So basically, even if the DA is terminated in 10 years, that the city could legally enforce provisions that are in the DA after that point for them to maintain and administer affordable homes. We also have language in the DA that talks about inform and content acceptable to the city attorney, and that's pretty broad, but Habitat's recorded a lot of these covenants before, and the city wants this affordability, but we don't want to be in charge of administering it and reviewing it, and it's really going to be up to Habitat. This is what they do for these purchase agreements, or if there's a change in ownership. So that would all be handled separately with with the covenants. So a couple points there on that topic, which we talked about last week. As far as parking, we did add a section to the DA. We had kind of gone back and forth on that before, and then I brought it to legal and management, and they said, you know, that's fine. It's supported in code to have to allow some of the parking on the street, but let's just go ahead and formalize that. And so they, you know, the project will be improving the street standards, particularly along Janet. And so it'll be a sufficient width to safely accommodate parking there. And we added that in, and it will also be added to the restrictive covenant again. And we've talked about, you know, working with Habitat on that covenant, and, you know, would we want to say, hey, per unit, you know, you two cars maximum. Again, it's, you know, it becomes kind of an enforcement thing, but that's up to Habitat and the folks that live there in the homeowners association. So that's not for us to, you know, address tonight, but just know that we, as we develop the covenants and everything, we'll be looking at all those issues. And we have it mentioned here in the development agreement. So The changes are highlighted, and we can go through those if you guys have questions or you want to talk about that. And I've summarized the comments that we received in the staff report last week or 2 weeks ago during the hearing. And to bring it back to our code and our comprehensive plan, we have a number of affordable housing goals. And I think that's just important to keep in mind. We look at King County for their countywide planning policies, and that provides direction to us to implement the GMA mandate and provide affordable housing. So I'll just read off three of our policies. Policy H1.1, encourage the development of single family residential infill that would blend with surrounding homes and be more affordable and compatible with the existing neighborhoods within the city limits. Policy H1.5, encourage nonprofit housing providers to pursue housing development opportunities that supply affordable housing while providing a high quality residential living environment. And then policy H1.7 says reduce impact fees for residential developments that include affordable housing for those with low or very low incomes. So we have great policy support there. Habitat did add an extra unit at the 50% AMI, so they have area median income. They have two units. That was at the request of our council committee. So in your packet was the budget information provided by Habitat and kind of the rationale for why lowering the impact fees helps their project out. And I think what they said there was, you know, I think I had it in my cover memo, but it was, I think they were assuming about 5,000 per unit. And if you kind of calculate it out approximately now, we're a little bit over 6,000, 6,300, I think it was. So we're close with the proposed reduction of the 50% and the break they get for the other impact fees. So I think things are looking good, and we're just looking for your recommendation tonight and any other questions.
Thanks, Jamie. Before we get into commissioner questions or comments, did I see that Commissioner Torgerson has joined us?
I am not sure. Let me see here.
I thought I saw something in the chat
box. Oh, I see. Okay, let's see here. I see invite others. I do not see.
Okay.
But let me just check my email real quick, make sure nobody had any issues. Nope, I don't see any messages. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Commissioners, are there any questions or comments? Would somebody like to lead us off?
Well, this is Commissioner Bush, and I think this is a really great project. I wasn't here for the May 14th meeting. I just had a suggestion for the covenant. It also kind of jumped out to me that the development agreement would be for at least 40 years or the useful life of the residential properties, whichever is longer. My suggestion is to, I mean, could you include a clause, something along the lines of that the property would be maintained in accordance with the terms and conditions of the covenant into perpetuity?
So there's going to be a homeowners association as well. I'll talk with legal about the difference between when you say useful life and perpetuity. And see if there's a distinction there. So you were saying that the grounds or the property will be maintained?
Yeah, that the property would be maintained in accordance with those terms and conditions into perpetuity.
Okay. So I guess, Commissioner Bush, this is Gary. I guess procedurally, what I would like to propose, if we get to a point where we're ready to make a motion to adopt, and assuming that there would be a second, I would ask that you offer that as an amendment, and that we take that up as an amendment to the covenant language, and make it, if that amendment is approved by the commissioners, just make it subject to legal review to make sure that doesn't open up a can of worms on the in perpetuity piece of that.
Right.
Is that okay, Jamie?
Right. And I think just to clarify, I would maybe call this a recommendation to look into for staff, because we're not reviewing the covenant tonight. We're looking at the, or were you suggesting a change to the development agreement?
No, it's just a suggestion.
Suggestion. Okay. So
okay. All right.
I think we can take that as a suggestion, nothing that needs to be amended in the development agreement tonight. Okay. But okay, that's noted. Yeah.
Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Commissioner Greenberg. I appreciate the addition of the clarification on the length to the 40 years or useful life of the project. And I will say, in my experience, the difference is useful life of the project is just what it means. As long as the buildings are there and it's being used as affordable housing, then the conditions apply. And perpetuity to me would mean the land itself. So even if that project went away in 50 years, anybody who bought that land would still be subject to the conditions and restrictions of the covenant.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. I think that's a good distinction.
Yeah.
And that's along the lines of what I was thinking.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. Okay.
Anything else, Scott?
No, I think it's good, and I totally support it. I think we need more affordable housing in town. I think Habitat for Humanity is a great organization to partner with, and they do some great work. So I'm happy to vote in favor of this when the time comes.
All right. Commissioners Mo or Blanco, any questions or comments?
Commissioner Blanco here. Did you go ahead? Are you in?
No. You're totally fine. Go for it.
Okay. I just had a couple of comments regarding the affordable housing project that we're looking at, and have thought a bit about it, that we truly have a void of affordable housing market in our city. And by partnering with Habitat for Humanity, the opportunity to have that affordable housing really does become a reality and fills a much needed void. And I have thought a bit about these collection of the impact fees. I believe we can and should step back a bit on these impact fees and support the DA agreement. In my mind, it's a very reasonable solution for such a challenging issue. So those are my thoughts.
Okay. Well said, thank you. Commissioner Mo.
Yeah, I just had a question about on page 2, the second paragraph from the top, it talks about how at the CED meeting, Councilmember Garcia had talked about potentially having HB 1406 buying back some of the impact fees.
Right.
I don't know what 1406 is.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And I have some notes on that in case there was some questions to clarify. So CED committee gave direction to you guys to, hey, look at this proposal and provide us a recommendation. Then they're going to discuss it at council and see where council lands on it. So it would have to be approved by council. But in 2019, Washington State Legislature passed the Senate House Bill 1406, and that provides a way for us to capture part of the existing state 6.5% sales tax. And so we've adopted an ordinance back in October of 19 with our intent to authorize the sales tax and use, and a portion of it can go to support affordable housing. And it's a credit against the state sales tax. And so it's not an increase in the tax rate for consumers. Let me see what else I would want to point out here. Let's see. So the we basically have a new code chapter that was just approved, chapter 3.10, sales and use tax for affordable housing. So we receive, it's 0.0073 percent half share, and the county will also receive that same percentage within the city boundaries. So no new taxes. But the rough estimate is through this bill that we would get a little bit back in the amount of state sales tax in the amount of about $22,000 per year, or $444,801 for 20 years. That's how long it's effective for. So Councilmember Garcia's proposal was, hey, let's support this project, and if when we get our annual allocation of around $20,000, let's give that back to the project. So that can make up for the gap that we're seeing right now in the cost. So again, we'll see what council thinks, if they want to give all of that to them or a portion, but that was the idea.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Is there a commissioner who's willing to put a motion forward to approve the development agreement as it's been submitted? There's a suggested wording for the motion. I think it's page 6 of the staff memo.
Following consideration, is that where you're looking?
Yeah, that's okay. The suggestion.
I would be happy to make that motion now that I have found the words.
Okay, go ahead.
Following consideration of the staff report, draft development agreement, and public comment received at the public hearing, the Planning Commission recommends that the City Council approve the development agreement.
Is there a second?
Should I say approve, deny the development agreement?
No. You're making the motion in the affirmative to recommend approval.
Approve, yes, please.
I would like to second that.
And for the record, was that Commissioner Mo?
Commissioner Mo, yes.
Okay, so the motion has been made by Commissioner Blanco, seconded by Commissioner Mo. Is there any discussion on the motion before we vote? Hearing none, all in favor of approving the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? None opposed. Motion carries.
Great.
All right. Thanks, Jamie. Good job.
Yeah. Didn't even put Patrick on the hot seat, man.
Well, that was kind of last time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us. Yeah.
Addressing all the issues that were brought up, both from public testimony as well as commissioner inputs.
Right.
Well done.
Yeah.
All right, next item on the agenda is a public hearing, and this is on the amendments to parking regulations. Is Jesse on? Is he going to lead us through this discussion?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I can.
Why don't we go ahead, Jesse? We'll do the staff presentation, and then I'll open up the public hearing after that.
Okay, sounds great. Okay. So it's been slightly over 10 years since the city has looked at their parking code, development parking code, for an update. That is specifically for as development projects come in, we have certain parking standards. So this is only for new development, not for citywide parking. Staff examined 5 general areas of NBMC 18.16, which was inclusion of bicycle parking requirements, opening the possibility of a future in-lieu fee for downtown and a parking improvement district. So adding some language in the beginning section of this chapter. Updating the table of minimum standards. There was some more details that we wanted to see, and we wanted to align the format of it a little bit more with our zoning code in 18.10 as far as a table of permitted uses. We also look to simplify the procedures and requirements for the city lands, using city lands for off-street parking. And also, we explored eliminating counting on-street parking for residential development permits. And so this code update was, it was sent to the business outreach group earlier in the year, and we received some minor comments. It was then presented 2 weeks ago at the Planning Commission for your input. We had a SEPA comment period from May 8th to May 28th and received one comment, which was a part of your Planning Commission packet. So from the result of the comments and the discussion that was made in 14th, I went in and made some additional edits and helped spur further discussion today. Those edits are as far as opening up the code to allow an in-lieu fee or a parking improvement district. Some apprehension was given amongst the commissioners 2 weeks ago about this kind of being an excuse to get outside of parking requirements and putting money into a pot. So what I did is I added some language to be a little bit more specific on the parking improvement district, so that money could be, an in-lieu fee could be possible if, now that I put in the code, coherent and obtainable centralized alternative solutions instead of just alternative solutions. So in hoping that that puts commissioners at ease, that in order to develop such an instrument, that we have to, it has to be well thought out, and there has to be something that's obtainable at the end. This money just isn't going into a pot and sitting there without accountability. For the off-street parking, it was concern was voiced that for multifamily units of 2+ bedrooms, that the original suggestion was to bring down the standard to 1.5 parking spots to 2+ bedrooms. And for now, we did omit it, although I'm encouraging the commissioners to rethink this, is 2 parking spots necessary for 2+ bedroom multifamily units, communities such as Snoqualmie, Black Diamond, and Covington have 1.5 or similar. So I ask for you to reconsider that. And I guess, we'll leave it at that for now. One commissioner asked last time that since we already have biking parking as an element of our design standards, as far as street treatments, you know, things such as benches and garbage cans and bike racks, that perhaps instead of making it a requirement to have bicycle parking, then perhaps it could be up to staff's discretion and through the developer when applying our street standards within our design standards to then prescribe it. So less heavy-handed, more at the discretion of the development. And let's see, the final thing to mention is it was pointed out that, so we originally suggested disallowing off-street parking for no new multifamily. It was then pointed out that that is one of the exemptions that we were allowing in our affordable housing. So then staff went back to that and thought we should keep that, but then add some text to it. And so I am going to read it to you verbatim. So right now the added text says for allowing off-street parking to count, is in the case of deed-restricted affordable housing only, off-street parking requirements may be satisfied by use of parking spaces located on public street or alley, et cetera, et cetera. So now we are being very specific as to, we will allow off-street parking to be counted only for affordable housing. And I think a few of you commissioners kind of hit home that, you know, this is a project such as Habitat for Humanity, the fact that they're coming to our town and considering these types of projects is something that we should really take advantage of, and doing what we can to bring the price down per unit is ideal. And so this is one of many tools that can be used to do that. That concludes my staff presentation.
I have a question, Jesse.
Thanks, Jesse. Before we entertain commissioner comments or questions, since this is a public hearing topic, I'll open the public hearing, see if anybody wants to offer any testimony. I know we did receive at least one written correspondence from Michael Thomas. If I remember right, Jesse, I think you read those. He wasn't able to attend last time. I think you read those to a meeting. But we'll see if anybody wants to offer any additional testimony via public hearing, and then we'll move into commissioner discussions. So at this point, I will open the public hearing regarding potential changes to North Bend Municipal Code 18.16, parking regulations. I will ask if there are members of the public who do wish to testify tonight that you limit your comments to 3 minutes. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak tonight on this topic?
Yes, Jim Estes.
Okay, can I ask that you give us your address for the record and go ahead and provide your comments, and we'll see if there's anybody else who wants to follow you.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Jim Estes, 226 East 2nd Street in North Bend. We're going to be directly impacted. We live in the Rivers West community there, right on 2nd Avenue, abutting up to the Habitat for Humanity property. I've sent Jamie Burrell several pictures of our parking, since we're talking about parking. I understand on-street parking is on-street parking, and it's first come, first serve, basically. But if you look at, if you get a chance to look at those pictures that I sent to Jamie, you can see that it's a pretty congested street at 2nd Avenue. And then if you turn the corner and look down on 2nd Street and Janet Avenue, you'll see that there's quite a bit of congestion. And I mean, so if you're talking about reducing parking spaces from 2 to 1.5, and you're counting on having street parking, all I can say for the Habitat for Humanity occupants is good luck, because there will not be, if the thing remains, if it remains the same, there's really not going to be much extra parking there on Janet. So if that's being counted, I think that's a little disingenuous. So anyways, that's all I have. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thanks, Mr. Estes. I didn't see the photos as part of the packet for this topic.
That was actually sent on the 14th
Planning Commission. The Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah, where it talked about the development agreement, the one on the 14th, I believe it was.
Okay, thank you. Is there anybody else from the public that would like to speak tonight on the parking regulations topic? Last call for members of the public to speak on the parking regulations topic tonight. Hearing none, I will close the public hearing. Looks like it's 7:34 p.m. And Jesse, is there anything that you would like to offer to address either Mr. Estes's comments or the memo that Michael Thomas had submitted?
I will address address Mr. Estes's comment. First of all, I'm glad to hear you moved to the Rivers West community. I'm sorry to hear that the parking on street has been an issue. I have been CC'd on some of those emails and talk about what to do about the cars that are chronically parked there. I understand your apprehension. That's why we are suggesting to remove on-street parking to be counted for all developments downtown with the exception of affordable housing. So I think the net overall, you know, if you look at how the code exists now versus the recommended changes, 10 to 20 years from now, it will be less congested with the recommended changes. The reduction in parking in the table of standards from 2 to 1.5 within apartments of 2+ bedrooms, that, you know, we feel from reviewing what the standards are in other communities that that's adequate. In the memo, I made a suggestion that perhaps we could have two different standards for 2+ bedroom multifamily units. In that, in the downtown area, it's 1.5, whereas units that are outside of the downtown area, it could be 2. In that, the fact that it is a walkable downtown, if you're located in the downtown as a resident, and there are people who do not have cars. You know, in general, as a planning principal, we really try our best to make the landscape as efficient as possible. And I guess this is a message to Mr. Estes, as well as the council members. If you ever want to see what it's like in an area that has more parking than is necessary, please go to the outlet mall on Black Friday or the weekend before Christmas and notice that that parking lot is never filled. And if that's a character that we want to have in our downtown, then we might, yeah, this is kind of what I'm looking for, you know, that we have efficient use and walkable community that's more vibrant and not completely auto-centric. That's all.
Great. Thank you, Jesse. All right. Time for Planning Commission discussion deliberation. Is there somebody that would like to start us off with any questions or comments?
I have a question, Belenko, here for Jesse.
Sure, go ahead.
When you were talking just now about, were you referring to 18.6100 where it does say, but only for deeded restriction, restricted affordable housing? Is that what you were sharing?
Okay. 18.16.100G. Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right. I just wanted to make sure that I had read that and I thought you were talking about that. So thank you for that.
Anything else, Judy?
Yeah, I do have one more.
Okay.
In your query to us, would the Planning Commission be willing to discuss the possibility of having separate parking standards for multifamily units in and around the downtown core versus other areas? I guess need to be clear that what the parameters are for the downtown core. I think they include the historic district, but I don't know I don't know on a map what you are calling the downtown core.
That would be the DC zone in our zoning map, the red zone, downtown commercial.
I guess so. Is that what it's called, the red zone?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, the DC zone. Yeah, I would. We would have to be, obviously, we'd have to be prescriptive, literally draw a line in the sand on where that would apply and where it wouldn't. And I feel that right. Downtown commercial would be a good.
Okay, so we see the parameters of that when we talked about this, then what everybody would see what that is. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, Judy. Any other commissioners with comments or questions?
Yeah, Commissioner Moe here.
Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to thank you, Jesse, for putting in that statement about adding the coherent and obtainable centralized alternative solutions. I think that that'll really help to make sure that, like you said, we don't just have a big pot of money that we don't do a whole lot with. I did have a question, though, about 18.16.100G, the one we were just talking about with Judy. Is there any way that we could add a potential minimum amount of affordable housing? I guess what I'm trying to avoid is a potential multifamily building going in that has, you know, let's say 35 units and then 3 of them are affordable housing and now they can take advantage of our street parking.
Okay, so maybe some wording on G would be specify that this is only applied to the affordable units within the development.
That yes, that would work. Something like that, that those spots could have street parking. Or if even if the developer was able to do, you know, let's say, I don't know, 20 or 30%, just like a minimum of their percentage of their total units, then they could potentially just use the street parking for all of them, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe something like only applies to the affordable units within the building, but no more than a total of 50% for the entire development or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. Whatever you think is best, but just something that can kind of help to, so just so that we don't get basically, you know, we can, I really want affordable housing to come to North End. So I would like to make it some, you know, something that the developers want to come do.
Yeah, but you don't want loopholes to be exploited. Like
exactly.
Someone puts in one unit and then yeah. No, that's great.
That's exactly. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Moe, anything else?
Nope, I'm good.
Commissioners Bush or Greenberg, comments or questions?
Commissioner Greenberg, I just have a question. I was trying to look at the document and look at MRSC. So if a applicant takes advantage of the fee in lieu of parking, does the 6-year, there's a 6-year time frame for expenditure of impact fees. Does that also apply to the fee in lieu for parking? I've worked on that stuff before. I just don't remember.
I don't know. And I will ask our legal team that answer. I don't know off the top of my head. Thank you for doing that research. That's a good point. I think that would get at that. We wouldn't, you know, right now this is just opening up the language to then make it easier to enact that in the future with more research and back work. So I would hope that, you know, 6 years is enough if that is the case, but I don't know. I can ask our legal team and then get back to you.
Okay, that's great. I'm not sure it applies, but it's just something I was thinking about.
Yeah, no, that's
yeah. Cool. I do support the proposed changes.
Thank you.
Thanks, Scott. Anything else?
Sorry, I'm muted already. Nope, that's it.
Okay. Commissioner Bush, any questions or comments?
No questions or comments for me right now.
All right. So Jesse, in the packet, you weren't offering or requesting that we take action on this tonight. This is just continuing to move this one through the process. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's no, you know, there's no rush on this. And Mayor McFarland has voiced to us that he prefers not to rush your decisions. So unless you feel like you would want to, then from staff perspective is we see no reason to not wait until next planning commission to make a final decision.
Well, I guess that's what I would propose. I think Commissioner Greenberg had a question requiring looking into. Commissioner Moe had some suggestions. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Blanco had some suggestions. So I think there's enough. We did get some public testimony, both written and verbal tonight. So I would propose that you take all of that and come back with a recommended final version for us to take up as soon as reasonably possible so that we can get this one done one way or the other.
Yeah, we can definitely do that next planning commission.
Okay. All right. Looking at the agenda, the last few meetings, we've added to the agenda a second time period to allow for public comment. I guess I'll ask if there's any members of the public who would like to comment on anything with the exception of the item we just covered, which was a public hearing. And I'm hearing none, so we'll move past that. before we do any good of the order and wrap up stuff, would one of the commissioners please make a motion to excuse Commissioners Bovers and Torgerson from tonight's meeting?
This is Commissioner Bush. I'll make a motion to excuse Commissioner Torgerson and Bovers from the meeting.
Thank you. Can I get a second?
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Bush, seconded by Commissioner Greenberg to excuse Commissioners Bovers and Torgerson from tonight's Planning Commission meeting. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Commissioners are excused. Thank you. And now I'll open it up for any closing comments, either from staff, previews of coming attractions, or any other good of the order comments from planning commissioners. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, I just have one quick thing. I will not be attending the next meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Planner Jesse here. Just one quick note on the next planning commission. We will be bringing floodplain ordinance updates to you. And unlike the parking, there is a defined timeline where we need to adopt. And I will emphasize that in the staff report, which kind of explains how we're a community that participates in the National Flood Insurance Program. And I'll save the details for now, but just wanted to make a note to prep for you. Keep your eyes out in the next packet. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for the heads up. Anybody have anything else for the good of the order? Hearing none, I think we're ready to adjourn. Can I get a motion?
Good job, guys.
Yeah, can I get a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting?
I'll move we adjourn tonight's meeting.
Motion made to adjourn by Commissioner Greenberg. Second.
This is Commissioner Bush. I second.
Seconded by Commissioner Bush. All in favor of adjourning tonight's Planning Commission meeting, say aye.
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 None opposed. Thanks, everybody. We're adjourned.
Yeah, thank you, Gary.
Thanks, guys.
Jamie,
good job.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good work.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thanks for facilitating, Jamie.
Yep.
See you next time.
Bye. Scenery.
Yeah. Like your background, Scott.
Yeah, well, it's a live background, so that's the benefit of doing these virtual meetings. I can sit outside.
You got your tiki torch.
Yeah, right. Right, exactly. All right, see you all next time in a few meetings. Bye.